Today's episode explores the cyberpunk world of Pornopticon. Our story opens in a future called the post-civil cloud. Can you set the stage for listeners? What does this term evoke, and how does it color the world Laurent Vaughan inhabits?
Absolutely. The post-civil cloud suggests a society rebuilt after digital upheaval, where physical and digital realities bleed together. Here, laundromats double as data portals, and the air is tinged with both nostalgia and decay, nickel, toothpaste, and static. It's a world where personal identity is as malleable as your browser history.
That blending of the mundane with the surreal is striking. How does this affect daily life? For instance, what does it mean for someone like Laurent to rematerialize in a place like a laundromat?
Rematerialization here isn't just physical, it's digital embodiment. Laurent's body is laced with code, and her perception overlays augmented reality elements like FPS reticles and crypto wallets. Everyday places serve as entry points into secret digital subcultures, so every physical action has layers of hidden meaning.
Let's dive into Laurent as a character. She's described as a lipstick, anarcho-sodomite, and an aesthetic threat vector. How do these labels reflect her unique blend of human and digital identities?
Laurent embodies radical hybridity. Those terms, part insult, part badge, signal that she's both a product of queer resistance and the commodified digital gaze. She navigates not just gender and sexuality, but also the algorithms that regulate social and moral behavior. It's like being both player and hacker in a constantly shifting game.
She also seems capable of hacking morality engines and virtue point ladders. Can you break down what that means in this universe?
Sure. In this society, even ethics are gamified. Think of virtue points like social credit scores. But governed by AI, Laurent can subvert these systems, rewriting what's considered good or bad on the fly. Imagine if you could hack your way out of getting a parking ticket just by rewriting the rules in real time.
That's fascinating and a bit unsettling. Does this make her more powerful or more vulnerable?
Both. Her skills give her agency to resist oppressive systems, but they also make her a target for those systems. It's a constant negotiation between freedom and surveillance.
Let's transition to the central conflict, the VR game Trinitaria. On the surface, it's a religious simulator promoted by patriarchal forces. What's the underlying purpose of this game, and how does it blur lines between play and indoctrination?
Trinitaria is a digital catechism using gamification to condition players, mostly young girls, into traditional gender roles. It rewards obedience with tokens exchangeable for NFT dowries or fertility enhancers. This isn't harmless entertainment. It's algorithmic social engineering, shaping beliefs and behaviors under the guise of faith.
It's chilling how real-world consequences seep in. The text mentions the game bleeding out into the real. Can you elaborate with a parallel from our current world?
Certainly. Consider how social media algorithms influence political beliefs or self-image here. The VR game amplifies that effect. Imagine if Fortnite didn't just sell skins, but also dictated your real-life values and relationships with consequences for non-compliance.
And resistance exists, too. Laurent receives counter-programming from the resistance. How does this dynamic shape the stakes of the story?
It's a battle of code versus code. On one side, institutions try to enforce conformity. On the other, hackers deploy subversive patches to liberate or protect users. This mirrors real-world cybersecurity, where every new control prompts new forms of resistance.
Moving deeper, Laurent infiltrates a convent in the game and uses a false womb artifact to bypass purity checks. What does this scene reveal about resistance tactics in digital societies?
This demonstrates how resistance adapts to algorithmic oppression. The purity check is a biometric lockout, so Laurent deploys a worm, essentially a digital disguise, to glitch the system. It's akin to using VPNs or deepfakes to evade surveillance, but layered with bodily metaphors.
That metaphor of the body as both weapon and target is powerful. Are there real-world technologies or activist tactics that parallel these methods?
Definitely. Hacktivists use encryption, anonymization, and even art to subvert digital tracking. In some countries, activists embed coded messages in memes or fashion to slip past censors, just as Laurent weaponizes aesthetics and code to survive.
As we wrap up, what can readers take away about the intersection of technology, identity, and resistance from this narrative?
The story is a cautionary tale. As systems to control identity become more sophisticated, so do the tactics of resistance. It reminds us that our tools, whether code or clothing, can serve both oppression and liberation, depending on who wields them and why.